Look to the Lord and pray and ask Him for His help. Our God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for this time that is set aside for the gospel message, the story of Thy love, the grace and the mercy that has been shown to us. And we confess that we are so weak in telling forth that which is so strong with Thee and which is so vital with Thee. And yet Thou hast committed the preaching of the gospel to men. And so we look to Thee for strength. We look to Thee for guidance. We pray for any in this room that do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their precious Savior, that they may come to salvation, that they may come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal, like so many of us have done. We just ask Thy help, Father, in that precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I have on my heart a real, I don't know how to describe it, a burden, something that weighs on my heart when I look at the audience. Maybe you could describe it as it melts my heart to look out over an audience and wonder, just wonder, is everyone out here saved? I want to ask you, the song that we sang was very personal. Christ is the Savior of sinners. Christ is the Savior for me. Savior of sinners like me. This is the Savior for me. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Can you point to yourself and say, He's my Savior? You know, I sat in many gospel meetings from the time I was very young, many gospel meetings, hundreds of gospel meetings. Maybe not all know me, and I'd like to introduce myself by reading a scripture. You know, my name isn't in the Bible, but I can introduce myself by reading a scripture. And the scripture I'm going to read is found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3. And I'm just going to read the last phrase of the second verse. It says this: "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" And it is the Lord that's speaking in this verse, and he's pointing to a man. And he says, "Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I came to gospel meetings, hundreds of gospel meetings, from the time I was about 5 or 6 years old. Year after year, I went to gospel meetings, and I didn't get saved. I heard the message. It was preached clearly. It was preached ably, and I didn't get saved. There came a time when I was 10 years old, and I talked to some of the children. And I know there's children here that are 9, there's some that are 10, there's some that are 11. At 10 years old, I had an accident. And you children probably don't know what a manure spreader looks like. But I'll tell you what it does. It's a machine that takes manure, which is droppings from, in this case, chickens, and they take it out in the field, and it has a rig in the back that chops this manure up into little pieces. It has fingers that come down and chop it up and spread it out in the field. When I was 10 years old, I had an accident with a manure spreader. It was empty. And I went into one of those mechanisms that was going around and around to chop things up. And I went right in, or started to go in. What do you think would have happened to me if I went all the way in? Yeah, I would have got chopped up. And it stopped. It stopped. It cut into my leg, a tremendous gash in my leg. And it cut into my head. I probably came that close to being killed. And God had mercy on me. I wasn't saved. And that's why I read this verse. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? God had mercy on me. He saved my life. But you know, I had a hard heart. I don't remember that bothering me. And it wasn't for 4 years later. It was 4 years later I was finally saved. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He's my Savior, and He saved me. And I thank Him, and I praise Him, and I bless His name, and I'm happy in the Lord Jesus Christ that He had mercy on me. And I look out over this room at each one here, and I want the same thing for you. I want you to know your sins are forgiven. I want you to know that you're on your way to heaven. I want you to know that you have peace with God. I want you to know that you know the living God. The living God. We've been reading through the book of Acts in Dorothy, and we came up with this in the 14th chapter. Paul is preaching. He's preaching about the living God to these people who worshipped idols. And you know, by searching, it says in the book of Job, canst thou by searching find out God? How do we know God? Do you children understand? The heart of man is so wayward and naturally just goes away from God. There were two times in the history of this world when everybody knew God. You've heard the story of Adam and Eve. They were in the garden. God talked to them. They talked with God. They knew God. And it wasn't very long before this world was filled. I am certain that there were millions of people on this world, on this earth, at the time of the flood, and almost none of them knew God. They forgot God. And we tend to do just that very thing, forget God. The fool hath said in his heart, no God. People say, I don't want God. All we like sheep, you may have read in the book of Isaiah and memorize a verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And we tend to do that, to forget God. But he hasn't left himself without witness. No. There's the witness of God in creation. Turn to Psalm 19. The witness of God in creation. Just to look briefly at that. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Or that third verse could read, there is no speech, there are no words, but their voice is heard. You know, when you look up at the stars, and you look up at the moon, and you look up at the sun, how did they get there? There's a God. It's a voice that speaks to men and women. And, you know, people have come along and tried to undermine the truth of the Word of God and say there's a thing called evolution where things just came about by themselves. That's not true, is it? You know, I deal with birds. I enjoy birds, and I work with birds quite a bit. And people come into my shop, and one of the verses I have up is, in the beginning, God created. And then another verse, every house is built by some man. Now he that built all things is God. And point out to people how much more wonderful a bird is than, let's say, an airplane. They both fly. But, you know, a bird is much more wonderful than an airplane.
an airplane doesn't fuel itself, right? You have to put gasoline, fuel in. A bird feeds itself. It fuels itself. An airplane doesn't navigate itself. It has to have a pilot drive it. A bird navigates itself and goes long distances. Some go thousands of miles. An airplane doesn't reproduce itself. You have to build another one. A bird reproduces itself. An airplane doesn't clean itself. You have to have machinery that cleans an airplane. A bird cleans itself. And yet, if I went to an airport and showed a person an airplane and said, "Look at this wonderful thing that just happened," they'd say, "Henry, that's ridiculous." How much more ridiculous it is that people say things just happen. You know, there was a hunter down in Africa, and he wasn't a believer. He believed in evolution. And he made fun of the young man who was his gun bearer, who carried his gun. And they were out hunting one day, and they were looking for lions. And this man was making fun of the young man, the hunter was making fun of the young man who carried his gun. He said, "How could you believe in God?" And so the young man said, "Well, look, here is a track. How do you know a lion has been here?" he said to the hunter. The hunter said, "There's his track. He's left his mark." You know what the young man said? The sun was coming up. He said, "God has left his mark in the sky." When you look at the sun, you look at the moon, it's a voice. There is no speech. There's no words. But it's the voice of God. It's the word of God speaking to men. He has not left himself without a witness. God has not done that. He's left adequate witness to everyone that he exists, that he is the living God. Their voice is heard. Wisdom to his power and wisdom. That's what it's witness to. And we sing that in one of our hymns. All worlds, his glorious power confess, his wisdom, all his works express. Is there further witness to God? Turn to Acts 14. I've already alluded to that verse. Acts chapter 14. And verse 17. Paul was talking to people who worshipped idols. He said this, "Nevertheless, he, God, left not himself without witness in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." God gives witness to who he is by the way he cares for his creatures that he's placed here on the earth. He cares for us. It tells us clearly that in Peter's epistle. He cares for you. The Word of God makes it very individual. Giving food. All the things that we enjoy. Family life. We have homes, we have food, we have clothing. God gives us these things richly to enjoy. We enjoy them. It's the care of God for us. It's a witness. The living God gives witness regarding himself. And so we have the witness to his power and wisdom. We have the witness to his care. But there's something that is more wonderful than that. And I began quoting a hymn. All worlds His glorious power confess, His wisdom all His works express. But, oh, His love. His love. What tongue can tell? 1 John chapter 4. Let's read a little bit about His love. How do I know that God is love? I don't learn that by looking at the sun and the moon and the stars. I don't know that God is love. I see His care in caring for me and giving that which is necessary for life. But there's one way that we learn about His love. 1 John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You all know that verse so very well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But you know, it's very important. You can learn that verse. God so loved the world. We can read this verse. God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, and not make that personal. You know, when I was a child growing up, I heard this. Maybe you've heard it. The Lord Jesus needs to be your personal Savior. You know what that means? He has to be your Savior. It's not enough that mom and dad are saved. It's not enough that brother and sister are saved, or that grandmother and grandfather are saved, or our best friend is saved. He needs to be your Savior. I heard a story once I thought was so good. There was a Sunday school teacher, and he asked his Sunday school a question. He asked them, "What is the best thing you have ever heard?" And he got different answers. One of the children in the class said, "The best thing I ever heard is that we were going to move from the country into the city. And that was the best news I ever heard." And another one of the children said, "That's funny." He said, "The best news I ever heard, we were moving from the country and we were going to the city." Going from the city to the country. Just the opposite. You see, it was just a change. That was good news. They were moving somewhere else. But there was one little boy. I love his answer. He said, "The best news I ever heard is that the Lord Jesus came into this world to save me." To save me. To make it personal. To understand that we have the question of sins brought in here. You children know what sins are? You know what sins are. They're things like lies, disobedience. We call them the bad things. There's much worse sins, and there's many sins. And Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But you know, sin is even, it is such an awful thing. And I believe we are sinners beyond anything that we imagine, because You know what else sin is? Doing my own will instead of God's will. Just doing what I want to do. It's an awful thing. I remember a little girl that wanted something that her sister had, and she grabbed it from her sister. She was just a little girl, and she ran away saying, "Me, me, 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 me." That's the whole principle of sin. Me. What I want. What I want. We're sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I like to use the expression, it's like we're pickled in it. It's just like, you take a cucumber and you put it in this vinegar sauce and it goes, that vinegar goes all the way through it from one end to the other. And that's the way sin has got a hold of us. It gets into us. It's just through us. Through and through sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. It says, God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that's where the story of the cross of Calvary comes in. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and He went to the cross of Calvary and He suffered for sins. Whose sins? He had no sins. It was my sins that put Him on the cross. It was your sins that He was concerned about. Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. What a love God has for us. We have here that God sent, we have the love of God shown out because He sent His Son. But you know, the love didn't begin then. It says in the book of Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Do you know what that means? God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." I used to think, why, that means that since I'm a believer, that the Lord Jesus will love me from now till forever. It means that, but it means much, much more than that. You know, He loved me before I was ever born. Did you know that? That God loved you before you were born, before your parents ever thought about you, before you ever existed, God thought about you, that He loved you. That's what it means. And everlasting love means there was never a beginning. There will never, ever be an end to the love that God has. I have loved you with an everlasting love. And we read in the book of Proverbs, the Lord Jesus says, "My delights were with the sons of men." Before there was even an earth here. That's the love of God. This is something that's immense. This is something that's wonderful. This is something I cannot wrap my mind around. But God loves you. And He loves me. And it's an everlasting love. And He loved you and me so much that He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior, to be my Savior, to suffer for those sins, sins that I can't even tell you all the sins I've ever done. But in His own body, He bore them on the tree. That is the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the love that He wants you to enjoy. That's the love of God. Well, you know what happens when that love is rejected? Is He your Savior? Can you sing as we sang, Christ is the Savior of sinners, Christ is the Savior for me? For me? Let's look at another scripture. The book of Amos. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Amos chapter 4 and verse 11. I told you that I was a brand plucked from the burning. The Lord saved me. I could be in a lost eternity today, but the Lord saved me. Let's read something else here. Amos 4:11. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talking to Israel. And ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. You hear what's being said? The Lord is speaking to those who are in a special privileged place. Israel at that time was privileged among all nations. And the Lord said to them, you only have I chosen of all the nations of the earth. And you are like a brand plucked out of the burning. Yet ye have not returned unto me. I'd like that to apply that to those who are in the room. Everyone in this room is in a very special privileged place. You have heard the word of God. It's been made clear to you. You've had the gospel. There are people in this world. There are many people in this country that we live in who have never heard a clear gospel. But you have. You have. And it's like the Lord has taken you from an awful place. You're like a firebrand plucked out of the burning. But then there's this comment made, yet have ye not returned unto me? Have you come to the Lord? I want to ask that question to everyone in this room. Have you come to the Lord? Have you received the gospel message? Have you believed it? Can you say Christ is the Savior of sinners? Christ is the Savior for me. Can you say like that young Sunday school student, the best news that I ever heard is that Jesus came into this world to save me, and I'm saved. Are you saved? Because here's what's going to happen. Prepare to meet thy God. Every one of us in this room someday is going to stand before God. You're going to see Him. He's the living God. Every one of us is going to see God. Are you ready? Are you ready? There was a time in my life when that worried me. You know, I would lay awake in my bed and turn from side to side. And I thank the Lord that I grew up in a poor household. Where I live in South Jersey, it gets hot in the summer. Doesn't it, Daniel? But you know what? We didn't have a fan. We didn't have air conditioning. And we didn't have insulation in the house, and it got hot. And I couldn't sleep because I was worried about my soul. I wasn't saved. Don't let that happen to you. Come to the Lord today. It was a hot night that by the grace of God, I got out of my bed and kneeled down and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I'm looking forward to this. Meeting God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God Himself. And we've been reading about Him. He humbled Himself. He came into this world to be the sin bearer, to go to the cross of Calvary, to wash my sins away. And He's washed the sins away of everyone in this room that has put their trust in Him. And in the words of, there was a poor lady who at the end of her life accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. She was worried before she got saved. And she heard the message of the gospel. And she got saved right at the end of her life. You know what she said? "And oh, for the welcome I soon shall know. No heart can tell how I long to go." That's proper Christianity. To depart, to be with Christ, to look forward to that day when we will see Him. The one who loved us, loves you, and gave Himself for you. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful Savior. Is He your Savior? In closing, I'd like to sing a hymn. It's not on the hymn sheet. We're going to sing it from memory. But it's just the single verse of a hymn that we sing often in Sunday school. And I'll just go over the words. "A message came from heaven to cheer my heart one day. It set the joy bells ringing and chased my gloom away. 'Twas in the Holy Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, I discovered, was written there for me." That means me. Whosoever will believe, and that means me. John 3:16 is talking about, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
A message came from heaven to cheer my heart one day. It set the joy bells ringing and chased my gloom away. Was in the Holy Bible, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, I discovered, was written there for me.
Whosoever. That means me. It means you. It means everybody. That's the heart of God. Let's thank Him. Father, Thy love is wonderful. It has reached down into this world and saved so many of us in this room. And it is our desire that each and every one that is here would know Thee, the living and true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent, and enjoy
the forgiveness of sins, and go on their way in peace to heaven, and wear a crown with Jesus there in that happy land. Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word that reveals these things that we would never know apart from it being written in Thy word, for revealing Thyself to us. Bless whatever was of Thyself this evening, Father. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.